Wednesday, September 11th, 2019. You are listening to the Daily Dose Sports Podcast, and I am your host, Clint Daly, coming to you from the Mile High City. I am here in Denver, Colorado, and we are back for another week of talking sports with a dose of common sense. Hey, happy Wednesday to you. I hope that your week has gotten off to a great start. We are happy to have you here with us today. Of course, today, September 11th, here in the United States of America, we remember the nearly 3,000 people who were, of course, killed on September 11th back in the tragedy in 2001 in those horrifying terrorist attacks that took place here in our country. Now, each year in the United States, this day, September 11th, is dedicated to remember all those who died, all those who were touched by that tragedy, all of those who risked their own lives to save other people. Many of us remember exactly where we were on that day when that all happened. We remember exactly what we were doing. We remember who we were with. And I know we've talked about this before here on The Dose, but I also remember one very specific thing about 9/11 and about what happened after 9/11. Because we all had our attention on something other than ourselves for, I don't know, like 4 or 5 minutes at least. We weren't all whining and complaining about petty things. We weren't all criticizing pretty much every single thing that goes on in everyday life. You know, our narcissism in this country, I'll be honest, I don't think it's ever been this high. If someone does something in the USA today that we don't like, our egos are so gigantic right now, we assume whatever it is they did that we don't like, it must be directed right at us because our egos are so huge. We have way too many people that have been told you have really, really low self-esteem. So what we did here in America is we started building that self-esteem up. Hey, no, you should have great self-esteem. You're a great person. You're a terrific person. Every single thing you do is amazing, no matter how dumb they are. So we've been building up self-esteem here in our country, and now we are paying for it every single day in this country. Now we have people taking off their shoes on airplanes and sticking their feet on your food tray as you try to eat your pretzels or whatever you're having. I've got news for you. That's not low self-esteem. That's insanely high self-esteem. So we here in the United States have been busy lately since like 9/11, creating safe spaces. We've been saying silly things like milking cows is sexual abuse and labeling just recently a very good black comedian as a Nazi for some jokes that he told on a Netflix special. Hey, the United States of America is currently insane. So today on 9/11, yes, let's remember all those involved in those horrible tragedies. Let's remember all those families, all those people touched by that. And you know what? Let's also remember a simpler time when most of this country wasn't whining about every single menial, worthless, inconsequential thing taking place in our lives. And we were far more focused on, you know, just being nice to each other, just saying hi, not having to complain about everything. It was a much simpler time back in 2001. Hey, if you'd like to contact the show, maybe tell us what you remember about 9/11. We would love to hear from you. Hit us up on email, dailydosesports@gmail.com, or go find us over on Facebook or Twitter. Both of those handles are at Daily Dose Sports. Doesn't have to be 9/11 related, obviously. Maybe you've got a sports take you'd like to give to us. Maybe you have a question. I've heard from a few listeners this past week asking questions here or there. We always welcome that. Maybe you have some feedback for the show. Maybe you have a suggestion for a subject you would like us to talk here at The Dose. Reach out to us. We would love to hear from you. Also, be sure you stop by tpublic.com and pick up some Daily Dose gear that we do have over there. We've got t-shirts over there. We've got hoodies. We've got sweatshirts. You can pick any color that you want. And hey, if you go over there and maybe you're looking at a certain shirt, I just heard from a listener this week. They were looking for something specific. They said, hey, Clint, can you maybe make this available? I see this available for other styles, but I want that available in a Daily Dose shirt. Yes, reach out to us. We can make that available for you. Stop by tpublic.com, search Daily Dose, scroll down until you see our logo. Like I said, we've got some apparel over there, but we've also got laptop covers. We've got coffee mugs. We've got stickers. So make sure that you stop by tpublic.com. Hey, today on the show, we are going to be bringing you something a little bit different again this week. As we began our 2019 NFL preview show last week, But of course, we weren't able to quite wrap that all up in 1 hour. So today, we are going to finish up that NFL preview this week. Yes, I know the season is already underway, but we will be giving you our predictions for the upcoming season that has now started. Some interesting things going on in the NFL this weekend. Before we get to that NFL preview, though, how was your first full weekend of football? I realize, hey, it's still late summer. The temperatures are still way too high. But we had the NFL kickoff on Thursday night. We had a little college football on Friday, had high school football on Friday. Then we had a full slate of college games on Saturday and a full slate of NFL games on Sunday. And hey, it was kind of awesome, wasn't it? I mean, I'm kind of embarrassed to say how much football I watched over the weekend. I bet I watched close to 20 hours of football.
What?
And I'm not exaggerating. It was bad. I'm not proud of myself, but I'll just tell it to you. Keep it a secret. But you know, we did see some really interesting things over the weekend. That LSU-Texas game, that was highly entertaining on Saturday, and I don't know. I'm starting to look at Ed Orgeron, and I'm starting to think he just might have himself a contender there. It's going to be a really tough schedule for LSU, but those Tigers look pretty good. Hey, the University of Southern California may have found themselves a quarterback on Saturday night. They come back and beat Stanford. And then here locally, the University of Colorado pulls off a crazy upset against Nebraska. Nebraska head coach Scott Frost looked like someone had stolen his dog after that game. But that wasn't it. Then we had the NFL on Sunday. And again, I watched way too much football. I watched the Buffalo Bills come back and beat the New York Jets. I watched the Philadelphia Eagles come back on the Washington Redskins. I watched the Cleveland Browns fail to live up to any of the offseason hype that they had. I watched the Baltimore Ravens look like world beaters. I don't know what was going on there. Or maybe the Miami Dolphins just looked like the worst team ever. Either way, I saw Drew Brees put on a clinic for the New Orleans Saints in his final drive on Monday night. The Dallas Cowboys and the New England Patriots looked very good in their first game. The Tampa Bay Buccaneers and the Detroit Lions, well, they look like they pretty much do every single year. And then we had my Denver Broncos, and they looked like, well, we're going to talk about my Denver Broncos here in just a few minutes. Let's just say they didn't look so great on Monday night against the Oakland Raiders. Now, I'm not sure that we saw great football this past weekend. I don't think we did. We might have to talk about that here in the next coming weeks. But it was nice to have a full schedule of football once again. And yes, we're going to have to talk about it. Finally, we did also have that whole Antonio Brown fiasco where the disgruntled wide receiver acted like such a fool that the Oakland Raiders had no choice but to cut him. And then he was picked up by the New England Patriots so fast that I fully expect the Raiders to file a tampering charge with the league. There's no way the Patriots signed a guy without talking to him first within about the first 60 seconds. Maybe Antonio Brown played the Raiders like a fiddle. And maybe he was just crazy like a fox. And now Antonio Brown is exactly where he wanted to be all along. Even though I'm not even positive that Antonio Brown is going to end up playing for the Patriots because he has now been accused of sexually assaulting his former trainer. That's according to a lawsuit that was filed Tuesday in the Southern District of Florida. Now, granted, this lawsuit alleges that these incidents took place back in like 2017 and 2018. What made you take so long to report? I don't know. We'll see how this all plays out, but I'm still not fully convinced that Antonio Brown will end up playing for the Patriots. This guy seems to have a mission to destroy his career right now. We'll see. But let's put that aside for a second, and I just want you to think about one very specific thing. NFL owners cannot be pleased with how this went. When that new CBA is on the horizon, and the NFL Players Association is wanting guaranteed contracts, I don't know, I'm just throwing this out there, Antonio Brown may have just burned a ton of bridges for those players and for the players' union going forward. Kind of keep that in mind as that whole CBA approaches. Hey, coming back, speaking of the NFL, we are going to be joined once again by longtime friend of the show. Yes, my friend Larry is going to stop by, and we are going to continue our 2019 Daily Dose NFL preview that we started last week. We are going to be getting to that preview right after this. So last week, Larry, a longtime friend of the Daily Dose, stopped by to help us preview the 2019 NFL season. Now, we got through the AFC and NFC East. We got through the AFC and NFC North, so we are going to jump back into that right now. But please understand, we did record this prior to this past week, prior to the first week of the NFL season. So some of the things you hear, you might go, hey, what are they talking about? Something has changed since then. We recorded this prior to the season, but we do have a lot more to get to today. Let's jump back into that conversation right now. Let's move over and let's switch to the AFC. And let's take a look at the division that has recently had a number of changes. And I mean things really flipping and getting upside down.
Yeah.
If I am being totally transparent, again, I had to completely re-rank all these teams after the recent shakeups. Last year, the AFC South got two teams into the playoffs. It's going to be real, real tough for them to do that again. But this division is another one that's going to be very, very tough to predict. I am looking at the AFC South. It's a goofy division. It's a division we've seen a couple different winners in the last few years. I am struggling with who to put at the top, who to put at the bottom. But let's take a look at this AFC South. Who do you have finishing last in the AFC South? Or again, would you like me to go first on this one?
No, I go first on this one. I'm putting the Titans last.
I am too.
Yeah.
And every year, Larry, you and I, we look at the Tennessee Titans.
We've been on the bandwagon, haven't we?
We've been cheering.
Yeah.
We've been rooting for them. And every year we say, hey, they're going to do something. They went and they got a couple more receivers. They went and they got a couple running backs. They got a little help for the offensive line. The defense is not bad. The defense is not horrible. And every single season, we are disappointed.
My ass is hot.
I'm done. I'm done. The Titans go 9-7 last year like they do every year.
Yeah.
Every year, they're right around 9-7. I keep waiting and waiting for quarterback Marcus Mariota to step up and be the guy we think he is. And you know what I'm starting to wonder, Larry? Maybe that's who he is.
Yeah, that's probably who he is. And he doesn't have a lot of help. And, you know, blah, 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 right? I mean, you just have to do more if you're expecting your quarterback to be, you know, to get out of that shell and be able to do the things that you want him to do. They're not that invested. I don't see progression, in the running game. They lost Munchak.
Yeah.
Right. So that doesn't
will
help
hurt.
Them.
No,
right?
That's going to hurt. You're going to feel that.
Yeah. Yeah. And, you know, like you said, leading in, this division is totally mixed up now.
Yes, it is.
But I just haven't seen enough investment in the Titans to say that they're going to be any better than the bottom of the barrel here.
You know, last year, now, you know, Larry, I had some shoulder problems, right?
I do know that, yeah.
I had some shoulder problems. Yeah. Last year, Marcus Mariota threw 11 more touchdowns than I did. And I have shoulder problems. 11? 11 touchdowns. Patrick Mahomes like threw 11 touchdowns in one game, and this guy's 11.
Yeah.
He was sacked 47 times.
That's what I'm talking about. He just doesn't have the help. And I don't blame it on him, right? I mean,
I think
he probably is a little injury prone.
Very.
But he has a tendency to run, and we know what happens to quarterbacks who do that, but he doesn't have a lot of help.
No, that offensive line is bad.
Yeah.
That offensive line is really bad. The defense is scrappy. Now, here is one thing that I guess I'll throw out there. Marcus Mariota is in that contract year. He is playing for his contract. Do you want to get another contract, get that big contract? If so, hey, it's all set for you. Go do something with this team. I just don't have any reason to believe that's going to happen. And you know what's going to happen? Ryan Tannehill is the backup. And guess who's going to get playing time in Tennessee this year? Ryan Tannehill.
Yeah, and he probably should.
Sure. I mean,
he might be, from what all I know, he might be the better quarterback of the two.
Could be.
They'll have to sort it out. It'll put him at the bottom just because of that, and we can move on, right?
Tennessee Titans finishing last.
Yes.
Larry, we've been driving the bandwagon for that team.
I know.
Every year.
I know it. I've changed my viewpoint, Clint.
Changed my viewpoint on a lot of teams this year.
I'm not hanging with the same old, you know,
moving forward.
Optimistic.
No more optimism. We're getting rid of optimism here on the dose today.
Screw those
Titans. You've just been dosed. It's our new catchphrase. We're working out some catchphrases here. You've just been dosed. All right. So let's move up from number four, and we're going to go to number three, and because we just agreed on this one. I'm wondering if we're going to agree again.
Texans.
You got the Texans at number three. Yep. Okay. And I can understand that. Hey, the Texans have some questions to answer, don't they? Yeah. I know they get into the playoffs last year, and then they get there, and they get their lunch handed to them.
Yeah.
But they've even got some more stuff to deal with this year.
They got some internal stuff going on.
Yeah, they do.
And I could have gone, well, I won't tell you who I could have gone, but I could have flipped this one with another team. I just, you know, the injuries, still a young quarterback, you know, still young.
And in Deshaun Watson, a guy who I really like, I think we both really like him, but a guy that if you're not careful, you're going to get yourself into Marcus Mariota territory because you're going to get hurt too much.
Exactly.
Stay on the field.
Yep. They got he's got a great target, couple great, you know, some offensive weapons, but he just lost a big offensive weapon.
Just lost running back Lamar Miller, who blew his knee in the preseason. Hey, Miller had almost 1,000 yards rushing last year. He had 25 catches in the passing game. That does hurt.
That hurts.
Yeah. You're going to feel it.
Yeah.
And you don't know who they're going to have to plug in there. I know they, you know, somebody, but you also have the fact that that Texans offensive line, I know they get in the playoffs last year. That offensive line is bad.
They're bad and they're looking for help.
And then we know that the Texans trade Jadeveon Clowney to Seattle. Larry, I don't think they really got anything for him, did they?
Clint, that was a huge surprise. Not a surprise that they traded him, but a big surprise on what they got. Like, this was a fire sale, it looked like. They saw no way out, and they got what they could for him.
Yeah, yeah. And that's probably what it is, isn't it? They got what they could for him. Because if they took that deal, then the other deals they were getting weren't that good.
Well, they weren't that good. And, of course, he had the ability to call where he wanted to go.
Yeah.
So, you know, that restricted, you know, trade partners. But, yeah, I mean, they did what they could.
So now the Texans, where we looked at them and said, hey, that defensive front is really, really good. Now we look at it and say, well, still, it's good, but it's not great. And we know the secondary is probably below average. So the Texans, they've got a few things to figure out. I don't either. But Deshaun Watson got sacked 62 times last year.
That is not a good sign.
No, it's not. And that's going to shorten your career if it keeps happening.
Yeah, that's going to shorten career. And yeah, absolutely. So I went with the Texans there.
Texans have some holes. I have them at two, but I could easily put them at three. So my number three team, I'll bet, is going to be your number two team?
Colts.
I've got the Colts at three.
Yeah.
And we get to the team that I originally had as the winner. Not only as the winner of this division.
Sure.
They're going to contend for a Super Bowl, Larry. And then it's all gone.
Yeah.
It's all completely gone. Because the Indianapolis Colts are not the same team without Andrew Luck. And we have proof.
Yeah, we do have proof. We have tons of proof. I mean, the guy was just, he's a great quarterback.
He's really, really good.
He's smart. He's athletic. He can throw the ball. He just, you know, that is a huge loss. I think they are a fairly good team without him, like team, you know.
Right.
They're not going to win as many games, obviously.
Well, they went out and they addressed some issues in the last few seasons.
Well, they did.
They finally went and got some offensive line help. They finally went and got some defensive guys.
Right.
They went and started to put some things together.
Which is what you saw last year.
And you know what's too bad? You waited a little too long to do that, and now Luck is gone.
Yeah, yeah. They did waste a lot of time, and they put a lot of wear and tear on him. And I can't blame him. For we've heard a lot about it. I can't blame him for retiring.
He's beat up, and he's beat up probably physically. He's probably beat up mentally.
Yeah,
the whole thing, it wears on you. Being in a rehab constantly, every single season, every single week.
Yeah,
yeah. He's broken.
Yeah,
and probably was just sick of dealing. Now here's one thing though. We have to talk about. Okay. We got to talk about Andrew Luck just a little bit. I think there's something to this story we're not hearing.
Okay.
Like, there's something to the story we're not getting. For one, what is the current injury? Because he wasn't playing, right?
That's right.
Calf, ankle.
Yeah, calf, ankle.
That's been like 3 months.
Yeah.
So what's really going on?
Yeah, I don't know.
Something's really going on. We're going to find out in a few weeks, like it was an Achilles this whole time or some crazy thing.
Could be.
And
could be a paragliding accident.
It easily could be, and I'm glad you brought that up. Because Andy Luck does have a little bit of a history of not always being the most forthright with his injury situation.
Yeah.
He had the shoulder injury.
Yeah.
Remember, he hurt the shoulder in the game. We all saw him.
That's right.
And then we found out he hurt it again snowboarding. Now, Larry, we haven't talked about this yet today on the dose, but you're an avid skier.
I am. I love to ski, Clint.
How do you feel about snowboarders?
I've seen a lot of snowboarders. I've seen a lot of snowboarders with dislocated shoulders.
Would you say on just across the board that snowboarders are sneaky and underhanded? Because Andrew Luck's a snowboarder. I'm just throwing it out there.
Not only that, Clint, because I could spend a lot of time going into this. Sneaky, underhanded. They smell.
They always have an odd aroma.
Yeah, they're always trying to scoot past the lines and things like that. They're very shady. Yeah.
I don't know.
Yeah. No, I'm with you.
Well, and here's the other thing, and I won't put this on Andrew Luck, but the Indianapolis Colts have a history of not being honest with everybody, and we know that the family in general is always
kind of a culture there, I think.
Yeah, it's kind of weird. Remember Peyton Manning and, oh, he's coming back this year, and then he's never going to play for us again. Like, there's some weird things that have gone on with the Colts. So.
Yeah, that's for sure.
Yeah. I'm picking the Colts to finish third. You have the Colts at second.
I do.
And I have the Texans at second. So we are in agreement on the first place team in this AFC South.
It's by default.
Oh, my goodness. It is by default.
By default, and the Jaguars win the division.
You know,
they go to the Super Bowl.
And, you know, they were horrible last year. They went 5-11 after going to the AFC Championship game the previous year.
Well,
I am not sold on this Jaguars team. No, but I'm not sold like on you them said, either.
But
it's kind the of the lesser of. Yeah. Of all the evils, I guess.
Yeah. And you know, maybe last year was a step back because expectations and they didn't rise up to them. But they do have a super good core on defense. We'll see what happens on offense. You know, I mean, they
have some pieces.
On paper.
Again.
Looks pretty good.
You've got Nick Foles. He's a Super Bowl winner. You've got Leonard Fournette. You've got a couple guys. Maybe you wish they had a few better receivers. That offensive line is not very good.
Hey, are we noticing a trend here?
We're noticing a trend here,
right? Is there an offensive line that is any good?
Yeah, and there's very few of them. Yeah. And it always seems like, hey, you're really good. Oh, and you have a good offensive line. Yeah, it's funny how that works, isn't it?
Yeah, yeah.
The teams that are contenders seem to have a good offensive line. We both have the Jacksonville Jaguars coming out of the AFC South.
Yeah.
If that defense just wouldn't run their mouth.
They didn't back it up last year. I noticed nobody ever, you know, they didn't apologize.
No, they didn't.
You know?
Well, AFC South is going to be very, very fun to watch, and I don't know exactly what to even expect, but we both have the same team winning it, and we both have the Tennessee Titans finishing in dead last place.
There you go. Bound to happen.
Let's jump over to a division that in the past 11 years has seen all four teams in it win the division at least once. And yes, we are talking about that NFC South. Every year, it seems like we have the NFC South kind of figured out. Like we look at what happened last year and we say, okay, that's what's going to happen again this year. Every single year, it seems like it completely changes from what happened the year before. The New Orleans Saints won the NFC South last year. They finished with the top record overall in the NFC. So they should be the clear favorite again this year going into the season. And yet there are things about the New Orleans Saints that concern me just a little bit. We're going to get to the Saints here in just a minute. But, you know, we've kind of been doing this. Let's go with the last place team. And I'm kind of struggling with who to go with.
This is a tough one. And we've talked about, you know, tough divisions to call. Mostly because there has been a lot of change over here. And I'll just say I'm still looking at the Buccaneers in the bottom spot.
Okay. And I can go with that. And I really was kind of flipping a coin between them and one other team. Let's talk about those Buccaneers, though. I have the Buccaneers finishing third. But let's talk about Tampa Bay.
All right.
Because they've got a new head coach in Bruce Arians. And Bruce Arians is a guy that we know he has taken some teams that were notoriously horrible and made them pretty decent. I never know that we can trust anything to do with Jameis Winston.
Yeah, I totally agree with you, and that's probably why I put them there. You know, if you look at those teams in that division, they have quarterbacks. The other three teams
have
quarterbacks who are, you know what they're going to do. They're pretty darn solid. Winston? Nah, I don't really know. And again, Arians is a new head coach to that team.
Yeah.
So I can't discount, you know, what he's done, but Tampa Bay as a team as a whole.
Yeah.
I'm not really sure we know where they're going, like what the investment is. Do we know, like, other than Jameis Winston, who are the stars?
Well, what are they doing? And you bring up a good point, because I think they've tried to surround him with some people. The problem is you're surrounding the least reliable guy.
Yeah.
And so that's your building block. That's your cornerstone.
Yeah.
The guy that you can depend on the least. Hey, when you see him in a uniform, he looks like he should be good. Yeah. When he says his little pregame, you know, pep talks, where he sounds like he's saying the right things. If you just put a brain in that head, you would have something special, because he's a big, strong guy.
Yeah.
But he never seems to make the correct decision on the field or off the field.
Yeah.
So I have the Carolina Panthers in fourth.
Yeah. Well, they're mine in third and fourth. Yeah. Panthers and, yep.
And same thing. And I have the Bucks just finishing, I don't know, maybe a half a game ahead or something like that. The issue for Tampa, I think, not only do you have Jameis Winston, who is best a question mark, he does have some surrounding talent. I mean, he's got Mike Evans, he's got Cameron Brate, he's got OJ Howard, he has a couple people around him. He has a horrible offensive line. His defense is not very good, so I'm probably giving Bruce Arians way too much credit and saying, okay, he can make them...
Do they have a running game, though?
Nine, not great.
No.
No. So that's going to be a struggle,
yeah,
too.
Yeah, you're left to Winston throwing it up. And,
right.
And yes, Mike, I mean, these are the highlights that we're going to see, right?
Yeah.
The big long toss to Mike Evans. And
what they're hoping for.
And that's the extent of it. Like, the running game has disappeared. They had a running game a couple of years ago. They don't anymore. So,
yeah. Well, so let's talk about the Carolina Panthers, because you've got them in third and I've got them in fourth. I put them at the back of the pack, and the reason that I did is because I don't think Cameron Newton is healthy. I think he's got problems, and I think they're trying to band-aid this thing up and act like he's okay, and I don't know that he's okay.
Yeah, I don't think he's okay either, and I think we're going to find that out. And even if he is, so let's assume he's completely
healthy. Let's say he's 100% healthy.
Right. It's the same old Cam Newton, like diving in for the first, you know, the first down and gets his shoulder.
Yeah, it's a matter of time before he does get hurt.
Right, exactly.
Plus,
now he's got some stuff to work with. McCaffrey.
Yeah.
Let's just be really clear.
Oh.
The more they use him, the better off they are.
Yep.
Right. Every option that Cam Newton takes and he tries to run for it, he ought to be giving that ball to McCaffrey as an outlet.
Sure.
and letting him do his magic. They had a decent draft, I think. So, you know, let those folks do what they do. But Cam Newton doesn't necessarily like to do that.
No, and I'll give Cam Newton a little credit in this area. When they, and I know he's not a good head coach, but when they went and got offensive coordinator North Turner, he did seem to help Cam make a few better decisions on the field. Here is a question that I have that maybe we should discuss. We have been watching Christian McCaffrey for years. We watched him in high school here in Denver because he went to Valor Christian here locally. How long can that kid stay healthy? He's
very
not
long.
A big guy, but
yeah.
He's putting up these 1,000-yard seasons and, like, I don't know, 900 yards receiving.
Yeah.
Can you count on that small guy doing it? Hey, he's phenomenal. Like, we're cheering for him, but my goodness.
Hey, look, the guy is just a big, huge muscle. So he hasn't been hurt.
To avoid
significantly.
Yeah.
He's got that going for him. He's a tough as nails kid. So we'll see. But the more they use him, the more they're at risk, obviously. And, you know, we should talk about this. The running backs these days, the wear and tear.
It's a different deal.
No, it's a totally different deal. The Le'Veon Bills want the big contracts. Ezekiel Elliott wants to, you know, get a bigger contract. I totally get it. They have to get it.
Because their shelf life is so short.
It is so short. And it,
oh,
or it, it's not yeah, an if, it's a when.
Correct.
And so they're, you know, gonna, like, get hurt. And
it's gonna happen to every single one of these guys. You get hit on every single play. And unlike, because I know people will say, well, offensive line gets hit every single play. I get that. You don't get hit at full speed on every single play, but the running back does.
Yes.
Because in the passing game, he is maybe blocking, or he's going out and he's getting hit. on the running play, he's getting the ball and then he's getting hit and five guys are landing on top of him. Right. Like you said, it's not a matter of if, it's a matter of when, and running backs get hurt. And I worry about Christian McCaffrey, especially with the number of carries he's getting.
I do too.
Sure.
He will be good if Newton chooses to use him.
Well, here's the other question.
Teams will clue in on that oh,
sure
also.
They will. Sure, right? They will. Here's the other concern I have about Cam Newton. So we're assuming he is the 100% healthy, right?
Okay.
But, hey, he's got a shoulder problem. And it's not a one-time thing. It's right. Now at least two times.
Right.
Hey, I'm telling you right now, Larry, if a 300-pounder wants to hit me, I'm getting rid of that ball way before I should, because my shoulder hurts just standing here, let alone if a guy's going to crunch me. Yeah. So I can see him getting real nervous in that pocket,
yeah.
Maybe not wanting to run, maybe not wanting to lower his shoulder, which has been Cam. I'm a little bit concerned about.
He's always had a strong arm. I don't know that he's always been that accurate.
No.
Right?
No. He leads the league in throwing the ball over his receiver's head.
So to your point, we will see him more inaccurate this season than ever before.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay. So we're pretty agreed on 3 and 4, and I'm good with switching those teams around. Tampa and Carolina coming in the back of the pack of the NFC South. Let's move up to that number 2 pick.
And Falcons.
I've got the Falcons as well.
Yeah.
And you know, Atlanta kind of regressed last year. They went just 7-9, but man, they had so many injuries.
Yeah.
If they're healthy,
yeah,
I really think they might have been in the push at least for a playoff spot.
Yeah. I don't think there's much argument there. The Falcons are a good team. Yes, they have to shore up their defense, but offensively, they're right up there.
Yeah.
Matt Ryan's a good quarterback. No question about that.
He gets sacked too much.
He does.
They better figure out
how
to protect him better. Yep. If they can do that, then Matt Ryan's going to be right there. They're going to have a huge offense again, and the Falcons are going to be at least a threat for a playoff spot.
Well, and he's got to do different things too, right? Mm-hmm. I mean, mm-hmm. He's got to understand that. And he's got weapons, so he's got outlets.
Devontae Freeman and Julio Jones and Mohamed Sanu and Calvin Ridley. You've got a ton of guys to throw to or to hand the ball to.
Right.
Take care of the football and stop letting him get hit as many times. And then maybe hide your defense. I don't think we can sit there and say, well, their defense will be better. No, forget that. It's never better.
Yeah.
Just hide it.
Just hide it somewhere. Figure out what you can do to
keep them off the field.
Yeah.
Don't let anybody see how terrible they are, because every year.
Use your offensive running power, swing plays, whatever you got to do.
Control the clock.
Control the clock. Yeah. But that's what they're best known for.
Yeah.
And that's how they win.
Yeah. So and I think they'll get back to that this year. And
yeah.
So we both have the Falcons at 2, which means we both have the New Orleans Saints finishing in that top spot. Mm-hmm. But I'm telling you what, I expect them to win the NFC South again. I expect them to contend for the NFC. I don't feel that overly strong about it, because here's the problem. The Saints looked like the strongest team in the NFL last year through like week 12. After that,
they kind of slipped.
They kind of fell back down to earth, and they looked very, very average at times.
Yeah, and I don't know why. I
didn't
go back and look and diagnose why, but there was something to the success they had, and not that I'm banking what my prediction is this year on that.
Right.
It's not. I think they're a really good team. I think they've built, their team with the draft. I think they have solid offense. Well, not solid. They have exceptional offensive weapons.
Sure.
They have a better defense than they've ever had before. So for me, it's kind of like, why not them?
Well, it should be them. Like, when you look on paper, it should absolutely be them. They go out and they pick up tight end Jared Cook, which should help a little bit. They did lose starting center Max Unger. That could sting. But Alvin Kamara is a stud. I know they don't have Mark Ingram behind him, but Alvin Kamara is a stud. Drew Brees is still playing at the top of the game. The biggest concern I have for New Orleans, and it's the concern we talked about even last year, you've got Michael Thomas, and you don't have a whole lot of other guys to throw to. Maybe Cook steps in. Obviously, they throw the ball at Kamara. Hopefully, they found a couple guys that can maybe help, Tyson and someone like that can step in and give a few more receptions. Because right now, I think a lot of teams, as you got down the stretch and you got into the playoffs, teams were like, okay, we're not going to let one guy beat us.
Yeah.
And that was kind of where they were centered around on their offense.
Yeah. Here's where I come. Drew Brees, aside from Tom Brady, is the smartest quarterback in the league. That says everything and sends the message and dictates the tone, whatever you want to say. That they are going to be successful because Drew Brees has been in the league for such a long time, is good at what he does, knows how to win ball games. So I don't have any qualms about saying that they're going to by far and away win this division.
Do you worry at all? Because this is one of the things I thought about too. Do you worry about them having kind of that hangover? We got beat on the bad call. We got beat on the no call. Do you think they just put that aside and that's
I do. I do. And again, it's because of Drew Brees. I don't know. We could go into a long dialogue about, you know, the top five quarterbacks in the league and what they mean to their teams and the directional success that those teams have because of those quarterbacks. This is where would the Chiefs be without Mahomes?
Right.
Nowhere.
Yeah.
Where would the Patriots be without Brady? Nowhere. Where would the Saints be without Brees? Nowhere. He will win, and that's why they will win.
Saints are going to be really, really tough to beat in that division. That division is going to be so interesting, though, because every year it just seems like it goes crazy. Coming back, we have now discussed the AFC and NFC East, North, and South. But we still need to get to the AFC and NFC West, and you just know we have some important things to talk about there. Plus, we still have to get to our Super Bowl picks. We've still got a lot to get to today here on The Dose. Now let's continue our 2019 Daily Dose NFL preview, and let's jump back into a division that Larry and I watch very closely every single year. Let's talk about that AFC West. Larry, we're going to move on to another division.
Okay.
And it's going to be a division that we know all too well. The AFC West is next up. And the AFC West sent two teams to the postseason last year, and both teams even managed to win a playoff game before bowing out once again this year. The division, the AFC West, looks like they're hoping to send another two teams back to the playoffs. But which two teams is that going to be? Let's discuss the wild and wacky AFC West. Because things have changed in the AFC West. We've got some interesting quarterbacks. We've got some teams. One team's going to move. We've got some drama. We've got some soap opera things going on in the AFC West. We're going to start it off, and we're going to start in the back of the pack again. Larry.
How much time do we have, Clint?
Well, we've got as much time as we want. We can do anything we want. How do you see this AFC West shaping up? Who do you have finishing dead last in the AFC West?
I've got the Raiders finished.
Do you? You got the Raiders going dead last.
I do. And, you know, full disclosure, they're bad. I hate them. They don't know where they play. They're going to play somewhere next year.
Sure.
They have a new coach. They have a new GM. They have all kinds of stuff going on.
Well, they do. Right? But here's the one thing they do have. Now, we're going to discuss this. They do have some talent. They've got some guys in there that can play a little bit. Derek Carr, although he might be damaged goods, he can maybe play a little bit.
Talked about this before. Yeah. Is this one of those teams that has stocked up the first round pick
talent?
Well,
they sure should have.
Right? And now it's paying off.
Maybe.
Maybe.
Maybe not. They've got Tyrell Williams. They've got some young defensive talent, and we'll see how good they are. But they do seem like they're getting better from a talent standpoint. Now, I did not have the Raiders finishing dead last.
Uh-oh.
I've got the Raiders finishing third.
Okay. All right.
I've got our Denver Broncos finishing dead last.
Yep. It's a 3-4 for me as well.
Yeah, it's a 3-4. And you know what? I can look at this and I think they're going to be neck and neck. Like, I think that it's going to be a race. Is that the drink that you Larry's having a drink right now just so he can watch and talk about the Broncos. I've got the Broncos finishing last, but let's talk about the Raiders real quick, because I have the Raiders third, and like you said, I think these two teams are interchangeable. Here is the problem another problem that I have with the Raiders, because they do have talent. They have a couple guys in there that can definitely play. They are starting to think they can play. If you watch the HBO series Hard Knocks, they're talking to each other. They're saying, hey, we're going to be really good. We're going to do this. We're going to do that. Here's one of a few problems I think they have. John Gruden, one, might be completely out of his mind.
Yeah.
And two, I don't think anyone on that team listens to him. Yeah. I think they look at him like, this nut. What's he even talking about today? Yeah. Hey, everybody, knock on wood. Shut up.
No,
what is that nonsense?
I'm with you. A lot of people, I don't think I'm out of line. A lot of people think John Gruden's kind of a blowhard.
Yeah.
You know, I'm not disputing he knows what he's talking about.
I'm disputing he knows what he's talking about.
Okay. Touché. He won his Super Bowl where?
That was in Tampa.
Right.
With whose players?
Who built the team?
Yeah, Tony Dungy.
Right. Yeah. So, you know, he's got a resume that has a Super Bowl winning team on it, but he didn't build the team.
Right. And
I really do kind of fall back to that. Like, where's the evidence that this guy really knows what he's doing
and
understands how to build the team and coach them to success? So we don't have that. Let's just be honest. We don't have that. All we have is his TV personality.
Yes.
So I don't think it's going to work out for them that this year.
I think it's going to be. Well, here's the thing that I want to see. Because I think the Raiders come out early and I think they're firing and I think things are good and I think things are happy and I think they even win a few games early. But what I want to see, what happens when adversity strikes? Because I'll promise you, it's coming. And when it goes sideways, oh, it might go completely off the rails.
Yeah. Real fast. Classic Raiders style, right?
Yeah. I don't think John Gruden is the guy that is the leader of men. And I'll say this too. I don't think John Gruden believes in Derek Carr. And maybe with good reason, because since that injury, Derek Carr has been a significantly below average quarterback, but that is the guy you're kind of basing your whole team on.
Yeah,
so you better figure out if you're going to buy in on Derek Carr or you're not, because if he, like, I don't know, benches Derek Carr, he's going to have a mutiny. It's going to get ugly and it's going to get ugly fast. So I think they start fast and I think they fade down the stretch.
Well, and their schedule is similar, very similar to the Broncos.
It's going to be tough. It's going to be a challenging schedule.
And the Broncos, I think the Raiders and the Broncos have the two
toughest schedules in the league.
So we've got to meet, you know, all the playoff guys. And so I don't think it's that much different than the Broncos. We'll see. I do believe that we'll win that Monday night opener. I don't really know how much I have to base that on, other than I think that the defense will win.
Well, that's what they're going to have to do, because let's switch over and let's talk about the Denver Broncos. Larry's got them in third. I've got them in fourth. But I look at the Denver Broncos, and there is a serious void of talent on that team. They don't have a whole lot of guys. And hopefully they'll surprise me. I don't see them having enough talent to get them more than like 4 or 5 wins. And I'll say this, if they get more than 5 wins this year, give head coach Vic Fangio a raise. Because I don't think he has the players, and that's not his fault.
They'll get more than 4 or 5 wins.
They'll get three.
Well, I've got them with a winning record. I've got them at 9-7.
You're drunk.
No. Well.
Maybe.
Yes. I've got them at 9-7.
I like the coaching staff more than I have in a few years, because I thought Vance Joseph early on, I think he was trying to do the right thing. But I don't think he was capable of leading men. I don't think he was able to keep them on. But when I look at this team, I like Fangio. I like some of the things he's doing. I think he is making them focus. He's teaching them fundamentals. He's working on player development, which I know sounds crazy.
Yeah.
Which is huge.
Yeah.
I just don't think they have any talent. And what I worry about this team, I think the defense battles and battles and battles, and eventually that lack of depth just starts to wear them out, and they just start to drop games because they don't have any people.
Yeah, that could be. So, yes, I do think that the top two teams are the Chargers and the Chiefs.
Right.
So, you know, we play, you know, most of our games against our divisional rivals here.
Yeah.
But when we talk about winning games, if you look at the schedule, there's 9 wins in there. Could be 9 wins in there. I think they'll get them.
There's 3.
And I think it makes a huge difference from the top down. I think Fangio will make a difference. I think that Joe Flacco will make a difference. I think there's enough components in here that if we won 5 and 6 games in the last 2 years, as inept as a team that we were and coaching staff as we were, that we can find 3 more wins in there.
Let's have a quick draft.
Okay.
We're going to do it. We're going to play a quick little game here. We're going to have a quick draft. You and I are going to pick the best players. We're going to choose a team just from the Broncos roster. Okay. You've got first pick. Best player is who? Who's the best player?
Von Miller.
Von Miller. You got Von Miller. I'm going to take Bradley Chubb. You're up.
Okay. Harris.
Okay. You got Chris Harris. And I'm out. That was a fast game. We're out of players. That was literally it. That's all, folks.
Come on. Philip Lindsay.
I love Philip Lindsay. He's 160 pounds.
He's a playmaker. Yeah.
He's 160 pounds.
And he will get snapped in half. I'm worried
that he took a bit of a tumble and like shattered his wrist last year. Yeah. So that makes me a little bit nervous.
Notice we didn't say like Cortland Sutton or the aging Josie Jewell or things like that. Now they are good players and they will contribute. But again, that's the void of talent that the Broncos really do have. Beyond that, I still will bet you a dollar that we will be ahead of the Raiders.
You heard it here first. We got a dollar on the table. We have talked about this. There is a void from about 3 or 4 years of John Elway's drafts of players that there's nothing to show for.
Nothing.
And that's why we have this talent gap. And I'm assuming John Elway was drinking. That's my guess, is that he's just drunk. He's just drunk. Just bumping around and just pick that guy. He went to Stanford. It doesn't make any sense.
Him and Matt Russell.
You know? Well, that's the thing.
Yeah.
The guy that's gotten popped for the DUI, that's your leading draft expert. And it's,
yeah, we got problems. Do we want to go into them now?
No, because it's going to make me drink more. I've already had enough.
I'm meeting Elway later.
Me and Elway are going out for drinking and driving later. That's just a joke, kids. Don't you drink and drive now. Yeah, let's move on to the teams that are actually going to win some games this year in the AFC West. Okay. So, Larry, who do you have at the number two spot? Because I'm wondering if we're going to have the same breakdown here in one and two. Who do you have at number two?
Yeah, I'm going Chiefs number two.
You're going Chiefs number two. I kind of like that pick. I'm going to go with the Chargers at number two. But
okay.
Again, as much as we said those last two are kind of interchangeable, I think these two are kind of interchangeable. And it's going to be who can win the game against each other.
Yeah.
The only thing I kind of based it on was like the last time they face each other is late December and it's in Arrowhead. So I said, well, maybe the Chiefs win that one and it puts them over the top. But either way, these are the two teams. Let's talk first about the Chargers. I want to put them at number one because they're just a shade behind the Chiefs. That my biggest concern, maybe I'm putting too much into this, is the fact that they don't have the whole Melvin Gordon thing figured out, and it looks like he's going to ask for a trade and all those things. And I don't know, maybe by the time you hear this, he's already been traded. Are the Chargers just used to, hey, we work for a cheap franchise. You're not going to get paid. Just deal with it and we move on and it's next man up.
Probably. Although I think we have seen that they've committed more resources lately. You know, this is not unlike the Dallas deal.
Yeah.
Like running backs are trying to get what they want and they're going to hold out. Yeah. I'll tell you what hurts them more is the Darwin James injury.
That could hurt a lot. And losing the starting safety and a starting safety that looks like he might be a stud.
Like he's like legit, right?
Yeah. Really good.
So that hurts him more.
Yeah.
Melvin Gordon is a great player.
He's just never healthy, which makes me wonder, maybe the Chargers like, we play without him all the time.
Well, so I think that's what most NFL teams say. Like they have a back. Like, let's be honest. If you have a decent offensive line, I could like go in. Not really. Maybe you could.
No, you could. Maybe I think you could. Oh,
I could.
I couldn't.
I don't have the legs.
I'm broken now. I don't have the arm. Maybe if I use your arm.
and your legs.
I don't think it's going to work. Either way, I think we're going to be in trouble.
Yeah, no doubt. But that's the thing. Like, you can find legit replacement players.
Yeah.
Like Connor. But last year he was in there, right?
Yeah.
I mean,
yeah.
Gordon was
Every
hurt.
Year he's in there because Gordon's always hurt.
Gurley's hurt, and CJ Anderson, for God's sakes, was the guy. Now, I'm not saying CJ Anderson like lit the world on fire or anything, but.
No, but you have to have backup step up because, like you said, it's not if, it's when these running backs get hurt.
If you don't have a stable of running backs, you're a fool,
right?
Because that's just how it happens.
Well, and they do have other players. I mean, they do have Keenan Allen. They do have Travis Benjamin. Yep. Mike Williams is going to be a load.
Yep.
And they've now got that nasty pass rush with Joey Bosa and Melvin Ingram coming off the
edge. Oh, my God. That thing is
so that's going to be scary. And you know they are pinning their ears back and they're saying, hey, Patrick Mahomes, we have you in our sights.
Yep.
Larry's got the Chargers going at one. I'm going to put them at two, but I think this is going to be very, very tight. I have the Kansas City Chiefs on top of the West once again. And some of it is just because I think I looked at it and said, well, they avoided that disaster when the NFL decided to let wide receiver Tyreek Hill off without so much as a slap on the wrist.
Yeah.
because that was huge.
Yeah.
I still don't know what's going on there. There's something weird going on there because we've seen guys suspended for far less than what he did.
Yeah, yeah. Part of my decision making on this was the fact that I'm not sure that's over.
Oh, I'm not either. You're right there. I think we could end up still seeing him face some punishment at some point. Plus, he has a history of doing dumb things, so he'll do something else.
He is not like, he's just a candidate for, you know, something to happen.
Right.
So let's just put that aside. Mahomes will have a step back. He's not going to replicate what he did last year.
No.
More teams will be attuned to his, you know, whatever, left-handed pass.
Right.
That won't happen.
They've spent all offseason preparing for what he's going to do and taking some things away from him that he likes to do. Sure.
Exactly. And if you look at his division, it's completely opposite of the Patriots.
He's stacked.
Defensive side of the AFC West is good.
Well, yeah, it's
very good.
On his best week, he gets to see Denver's defense.
That's right.
Who is going to knock the crap out of him.
Two times.
Yeah, so that's going to be very, very different.
San Diego's defense.
Very, very
good. Two times.
And then you have the Raiders. Who
shipped out Khalil Mack, right?
We don't need a pass rusher.
Right. And those are the ones that end up being trap games. Sure. And, you know, if they split, then... You know, you never know what happens.
Well, and here's the other thing with Kansas City, because I know the focus is on that offense, but that defense, it was horrible last year.
Terrible.
It literally cost them a chance at the Super Bowl.
Did they get better?
Well, they went out and they got a new defensive coordinator, and they said we're going to overhaul.
Is he playing?
No, they said they're going to overhaul that defense. They're going to completely rethink it. Larry, let me tell you a story. When I was a kid, I helped overhaul the engine of a Ford Maverick, and guess what happened when we were done? It was still a Ford Maverick, and it wasn't like a dragster. Didn't like get any better. Still a piece of crap, and it barely ran. So like, you can do whatever you want. Overhauls go bad all the time, people, is what I'm saying.
Oh, God.
I think the Chiefs' offense is going to be really, really good. They'll be tough to stop, but I do think the Chiefs have to take a little bit of a step back in that division. AFC West is going to be fun to watch this year, though. We're going to move on to our final division, and it is another one that last year had two teams get to the playoffs as the Seattle Seahawks. Kind of surprised everyone.
Division.
I mean, last year we were expecting the Seahawks to kind of take a dump. They didn't. They make the postseason. The Los Angeles Rams go all the way to the Super Bowl. A number of people are thinking this NFC West, maybe they'll get those same two teams back in it again. Or maybe we're going to have a new team into the mix. Who is going to come out of the NFC West this season? Larry, let's talk about this NFC West, and let's talk at the bottom. Like, let's start off at the bottom, and we're probably going to have the same team at the bottom.
Start with an A?
Let's start with a team that has an A.
Yeah, Arizona's going to be at the bottom.
They're going to be bad.
Yeah, new coach, new quarterback, jettisoning some defensive players.
That offensive line is horrible.
Offensive line is horrible, but it's bad.
It's make or break too.
Yeah, it's bad. And I'm not sure, you know, you're the college football guy.
That's what they call it. That was used to be my nickname in high school.
Is Kyler Murray a professional, you know, football quarterback?
I think he is.
I don't know.
But I don't think he is in that offense.
Right.
Because that's a mess.
So I don't know. I think they have a lot to try and figure out.
Well,
I'm not saying they can't.
I'm saying this. Here's what I'm going to say.
With the teams here, the Rams, the 49ers, and Seahawks, they are not going to be able to figure out.
I think they have a chance to go 0-16.
Yeah.
They're that bad. Yeah. They're a horrible football team. Here's the problem. You had, like you talked about, some players get shipped out, some talented players leave. You have this rookie playing under this new head coach that's trying to bring this wacky Texas Tech mentality to Arizona. Hey, this might get real, real ugly. He might end up getting fired by like week 5.
Yeah.
The defense has regressed. Cliff Kingsbury might be in completely over his head. I think the Cardinals really are going to be the worst team in
that. Yeah, they will. They will be the worst. I don't know if they'll go over, but they will be the worst. Well, they have to play the Rams a couple times.
They better beat Detroit in week 1. Because if they don't, I don't see many wins coming for them. That's their chance. Right.
They play the Ravens, the Panthers, the Seahawks, the Bengals. Bengals,
loss,
maybe.
Loss, loss,
Saints. Giants.
Giants will give them a shot. Yeah, that there's Giants. Your chance. You better win that one.
49ers, Buccaneers, it goes on and on. They don't Arizona's have, there's mess. Not a lot of opportunity there.
No, and I guess you look at it and you say, well, if they can kind of survive this year and you can put some people around Kyler Murray, I just hope the kid stays healthy. I hope they don't kill him in his first year because he's not a big guy. And I think he's playing behind a horrible offensive line. Here's when I knew it was bad. Arizona played Denver in the preseason. You and I have talked. We don't put a whole lot in the preseason. But I was looking at Arizona's offensive line like, oh, that's really bad. Like after watching Denver's line, which is horrible, I was like, oh, no, that's a really, really bad line.
Why can't we have Arizona on the schedule?
Why can't we play them 14 times? That seems – then I'd feel a whole lot better. Okay, so we've both got the Cardinals finishing dead last. I think they're going to be really, really bad.
Yeah.
But now it's going to get interesting because who do you have at number three?
I got the 49ers at number three.
Yeah.
And they're going to be better. Like, there's going to be a massive shift, right? Like, there's going to be a
there should be a huge gap between three and four, shouldn't there?
Yeah, for sure. Well, maybe even more than that, right?
Could be 10.
If they go over. Could be 10.
I know that the 49ers are kind of turning into this popular pick to bounce back from last season. They're going to contend for the playoffs this year, and maybe they are, but maybe I'm kind of missing something.
They still have some work to do.
Yeah, I don't see it yet.
Yeah.
They're still a ways off. And everyone was saying this last year, too. We didn't buy into it. And then San Francisco goes 4-12 last year. I still don't buy into it. And I know. Jimmy Garoppolo, he was out with the knee injury. I get it. But I'm watching Jimmy Garoppolo, Larry, and I'm not that impressed.
Well.
The guys behind him look better than he does.
You watched the game with the Broncos.
I watch any of his games.
Yeah.
And I know.
I watched the game with the Broncos. And
he looked horrible.
And he, they couldn't get him out of there fast enough.
No, he looks terrible. The bad thing is the guys behind him look better than he does.
Yeah.
And at what point do you say, how much are we paying him again? Yeah. Because he's getting a lot of money.
No, he's going to be the guy. I don't see them doing anything with Garoppolo except starting him the whole season, unless he gets injured.
Yeah.
Only because... You know, the preseason is what the preseason is. And he, who plays in the pre? I didn't see him.
Right. I'm not going to take too much out of that. I'm going to take what I saw from him last year before we went down with the knee injury.
Right.
And I wasn't overly impressed there.
Well,
I thought the kids backing him up were better than that, too.
And he's young, right?
Yeah.
I mean, so
relatively young.
Putting their eggs in that basket.
And he's probably going to have hepatitis C soon. He's hanging out with the porn stars. I think if things break really well, I think they win 8 games, maybe 9 games. And hey, maybe you feel better about that. So then I've got the Seattle Seahawks at number two. Is that where you're coming in?
I struggled with this.
The Seahawks? Yeah, I kind of did too.
Can we talk about...
Yeah, we can discuss this. But here's the thing. I've got the Seahawks going backwards a little bit this year. It's just that the rest of the division I look at and say, well, who's really going to overtake them? But last season, Russell Wilson got sacked 51 times.
Yeah.
That's a lot of times to get hit.
Yep.
They traded away pass rusher Frank Clark. Doug Baldwin's gone. I mean, Pete Carroll and Russell Wilson are going to have to carry this team. And
do we talk about Clowney?
Well, they do get Jadeveon Clowney. Maybe he picks up that pass rush. But you know what he doesn't do? He doesn't block for Russell Wilson.
Right.
And that's going to be a struggle.
Yeah.
And getting skill position guys around Wilson. And I think Russell Wilson is absolutely dynamic. I think late in the game, he might be, him and Tom Brady might be the two guys, throw Aaron Rodgers in there, that scare you the most because they're going to find ways to get things done. But for the first 3.5 quarters, he's just getting knocked around. And you hope, again, that the guy stays healthy. He's
doesn't
shown
it remind a you for like healthy, of but. A rich guy's Tim Tebow?
Yeah, because he doesn't always look pretty through the first 3 quarters.
Right.
And then all of a sudden it's down the stretch and you're like, oh my God, they're moving and they're going to find a way to get in the end zone.
And he just gets in his
you're
zone.
You're just asking him to do so much,
puts everything on it. Yeah, I'm with you. I think they've strengthened their defense. Last year it was, they were bad and traditionally that's been their, forte.
They lost so many people. Yeah.
They have. I think they've rebounded a little bit from that. I think they have a good runner. I think Penny's, I think they've recovered in that area a little bit, give him a little relief. So I think they have that going for him. I did put the Seahawks second.
You have Seattle at two?
Yeah, okay. I have Seattle at two. But I struggled.
Yeah.
I could have put him at one only because I get the Rams. I get the hype. I get everything they did last year. I just don't know if they're, mature enough to sustain it.
Well, and they're, so we'll see. They're in kind of that Super Bowl win or bust this year because they've got a lot, and I mean like 20 expiring contracts. If they don't get it done this year,
that's right.
We both like the Rams to win. I think the Rams are, without a doubt, the most talented team in the NFC West.
Yeah.
But I also think that they have to overcome a lot of things. One of the things they're going to have to overcome, they've got to overcome history. In the history of the NFL, the team that loses the Super Bowl does not fare well the following season. Only one team has ever won it. Yeah. That was back in 72 when the Miami Dolphins did it. The Rams, this year, they've got to prove they're the real deal. Now, defensive lineman Aaron Donald, I think he might be the best defensive player in the league. I think he's just a stud. He's unblockable. Larry, I don't know what to think of Todd Gurley. Is he done? I've heard arthritis. I've heard he was just banged up last year.
Right.
I don't know what to think. And so I don't know what to expect. And right. The other thing, we saw Jared Goff at times. Hey, he's got a big arm. And sometimes that was kind of it.
Kind of looked like he didn't really know what else to do.
Right.
Right. Yeah.
So you've got some physical traits, but we know at this level, you got to have a lot more than that. The Rams are stacked. I don't think it's going to be as easy for them this year. They're going to have to battle a little bit more than they were last year, just going out and just blowing people out every single week. I think it's going to be a little bit tougher for the Rams this year.
Right.
Okay, Larry, it is getting down to it. We are getting to February, and I know we're looking a long, long ways out. It's going to be a wild season. We talked about it. A lot of unpredictability going on in the NFL this year. A lot of teams, hey, they're right around that 8-8 mark. Who is going to put it all together and show up at Super Bowl 54. Let's get your picks right now.
I'm first.
However you want to do it.
No, that's fine.
All right.
I'm going Saints.
Saints are getting in from the NFC.
Who I'm are going the Saints Jaguars. Facing?
Saints and Jaguars.
That's correct.
Getting in to the Super Bowl.
That's right.
Well, I'm going to say this. Your Super Bowl is way more interesting than mine because mine's going to be boring and mine's going to put you to sleep and no one's going to probably even want to see it.
I'm. Can I guess?
Yeah.
Pats, but, Rams.
No, but you're close.
Okay.
I am going to go with the New England Patriots, which just makes my stomach turn and,
sure.
and tie into knots. I'm going to go with the Patriots, and I struggled. I thought about a number of teams. I thought about the Chiefs. I thought about the Steelers. I thought about a few different teams. But I'm going to go with the Patriots and just say, okay, until someone finally beats them, I'll just pick them. And
sure.
Maybe I'll put the kibosh on them if nothing else. And then I am going to say this is going to be a repeat Super Bowl. We're going to have Patriots versus Eagles.
Okay.
And we are going to see them again for, what, the third time now?
Yeah.
And we've got Patriots versus Eagles in Super Bowl 54.
Do you have a winner?
I'm going to pick the Eagles. I'm gonna say the Eagles did it once. They can do it again.
I'll take the Saints.
You're going Saints opinion. Winning it all. We both sure. have NFC teams winning it all. And yeah. so, of course, the Patriots will win the stupid thing again. Larry, we've covered a lot of ground today.
Yeah, absolutely.
We've gone through every division.
This has been fun.
We've gone through every single team. Like we talked about when we started, this is, I think, our 15th, maybe 16th season doing this NFL preview. We've done this a number of times, but every year we get every single pick right. So
only feels like 20 years.
It only... So. At the least, it feels like 20. It feels like a lot longer than that. Every year, it is always fun to have you come into the Dose. We do our NFL preview. But you know, you don't just get a leave now that we've done this and just go skiing all fall and all winter. That's not how this works. You're going to have to come in. You're going to have to kind of, you know, touch on things and show up every once in a while. Maybe we kind of see how the season's going, how things are looking, how our bets are progressing, how our picks are progressing. And you're going to have to talk a little bit more with us here at the Dose because we always enjoy your visits.
Man, I can't wait. This is so fun. It's great, isn't it? Just getting ready for football season. Oh, yeah. And
everybody has hope.
Hope springs eternal. I'm really looking forward to it. All my picks are going to be wrong. I'm completely okay with that.
Our picks are right every single year, Larry. It's been, I can't even remember the last time we had a wrong pick.
I'm great with that. So ski season is just around the corner.
Just around the corner. It's coming quickly as we record this on a 100-degree afternoon. Ski season is just around the corner. I tell you what, I can't wait for the cold to come in. I know that. But Larry, we have to say thank you so much for coming into the Dose. We always enjoy your visits. We always appreciate when you come by. And we've enjoyed every single one of these NFL previews, but this year was really, really fun to do this.
My pleasure. Send it.
Hey, next week on The Dose, the college football and NFL seasons are now well underway. And you just know We are already hearing some crazy overreactions coming out of the sports media world. Might have to discuss a few of those. Plus, we will be jumping back into some sports news, and we will have the return of the Daily Dose Top 5, so you know you have to tune in for that. Hey, I have to say thank you very much to Larry for stopping by and doing our NFL preview with us. We enjoy those visits every single time, and like I said, you do need to make sure that you make some time for us, even though ski season is coming. That doesn't mean you get to be a stranger to the dose. Hey, I have to say thank you to each and every one of you for listening to the Daily Dose every week. Thank you so much for the emails, for the texts, thank you for the tweets, but more than anything, thank you so much for sharing the show. We absolutely love it when you do that. Have to say thank you to JSP. Couldn't do any of this without you. And I also have to say a quick happy birthday to the J in that JSP. Hey, have a great week, everybody. I will see you all next Wednesday.
I've got them at 9-7.
You're drunk.
No. Well,
maybe.
Yes.